this morning are continuing in our impromptu mini-series in Philippians 4, and we're going to look today at verses 10 to 13. So if you have Bibles with you, you could turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verses 10 to 13. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Father God, we thank you for your word. And we pray that now, as I seek to open it up and share what I feel you've laid on my heart, and as we listen together to what you say, that your spirit might move deeply within us. That you would help us to remain attentive, but that you would also help us to put into practice what you are teaching us, both as individuals and as a church. So, Holy Spirit, come. Work within us now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. In line with the simplicity of the previous weeks, today's title is I Have Learned and I Can Do. I Have Learned and I Can Do, which clearly hints at the two points that we're going to consider this morning. The secret of contentment and everything through him. So the title of the sermon is I Have Learned and I Can Do. And the two points that we're going to look at are the secret of contentment and everything through him. But before we look at these points, let's quickly recap on a couple of important pieces of background. This is the conclusion of a letter of deep friendship in which Paul thanks his readers for their gift. This gift that they have given him, a financial gift, is an indication of their friendship to him and their partnership in the gospel. It's interesting to see how he writes. He says, you have renewed your concern, and then he says, oh, not that you've ever left the concern behind anyhow. And so Paul is trying to make very clear what he's saying. But we're not going to be focusing on the gift and the giving of the gift, but rather on Paul's words that surround it. Paul is using ideas from Stoic philosophy that was the prevailing way of thought at that time. But what Paul does is he takes what they would be very familiar with, this Stoic philosophy, and we'll come on to that, and he gives it a distinctly Christian makeover. The Stoics were known for their, well, we know in essence what the Stoics were known for, because we use the word stoic. You know, we have that stoic spirit. You know, the current usage, as far as the Oxford English Dictionary says, is indifferent to the change of circumstances or fortune and to pleasure or pain. In essence, they were characterized by self-sufficiency and that sort of independent, keep on going, whatever happens, spirit. That British strong upper lip. That is the Stoic spirit. It's just keeping on going. We can do it. And it's a very independent and self-sufficient way. And that's what the Stoics were about. And Paul uses this, and he takes it on board in his arguments. And we'll see that. And hopefully, it's totally recognizable in all that Paul says. So let's look at what verses 11 and 12 say, again, in light of that. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Can you see there the Stoic influences? We're okay, whatever happens, whether I'm in plenty or in want, I'm okay. We're self-sufficient. And in fact, if you were to read verse 11 in the Greek, it would become even more apparent. For the more literal translation would be, I have learned to be self-sufficient. That word content there originally would have meant, I have learned what it is to be self-sufficient. So Paul is taking the Stoics' ways and even their words, and is he using them in this letter, and then he gives it a Christian makeover. Paul uses this phrase, I have learned the secret, which contains the idea of being initiated into a mystery about contentment, because that was the goal of the Stoics. They wanted to get into this place of total self-reliance and contentment, and that was their goal in life. And Paul says, hey guys, you know, I've learned the secret of self-sufficiency. And you can imagine all the Stoics in the room just pricking up their ears and thinking, you know, we've been trying at this for ever so long and we don't know how to achieve this self-sufficiency, this contentment. And he gets their attention by using their words. There is something very important for us in what Paul has to say. For contentment is not learned just in times of need, nor just in times of plenty, but in both. Life for us generally contains times of wealth and poverty, and it's important that we learn how to cope with them both, as well as the transition between them. Whilst we would all recognize that it would be hard for a rich person to experience poverty, becoming rich has its own challenges. As we are all most probably aware, is that when we become rich, wealth has a corrupting influence on us. So we often think, oh, if it being less well off, we think, oh, if we were just richer, things would be better. But sometimes the richer we become, the more corrupt we can become also. There is also a natural arrogance associated with wealth. You know, if you're rich and things, you often show it. And there's that natural arrogance. And often, as Christians and people of faith, throughout the years, there is a spiritual arrogance often associated with poverty. People think that poverty is something to be looked for and searched for, and therefore they become spiritually arrogant because of their poverty. But here, Paul speaks of the secret of contentment. He makes it very clear that it is to be found in any and every situation. In today's world, it always seems to me that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. I was particularly hit by this when I went to the Philippines. I went to the Philippines back in 2009, and when I was there, we drove through the city of Manila, and there were massive boards up there advertising hoardings with pictures of women on them. And I was talking to the people that were with me, and I said, what are they advertising? What they were advertising was face whitener. Now, the Filipinos, and I thought, what's this? The Filipinos want to become whiter and fatter. They think to be whiter and fatter is better. And it seems to be a complete contrast to the UK, where we're filled with tanning salons and weight loss programs. And it seems like we all want to get browner and thinner, and they all want to get whiter and fatter. Is no one content with their lot? And it seems to me that the grass is always greener on the other side. There's so much cosmetic surgery that we think we can make ourselves look better or feel better. We do all sorts of things to try and be better some way rather than learning the secret of contentment. We have created a desire-fueled society which elevates wants to needs. And this constant consumerist clamor for more teaching us manifest malcontent instead of the true secret of contentment. As Christians, we must learn to find contentment here and now, not elsewhere or at another time. Flourish where you're planted. Have heaven here. Don't always be looking for something else. I remember as a youngster, I used to love the song, and I'm not going to be able to remember the name, the words of it now. I'll need some help from some of the older folk in the congregation because I won't know it. This earth is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Do you know the song? No? Sorry? Yeah. Thank you. Wonderful. And the idea of it is that this world is not my home. I'm waiting to go to heaven. And all I'm looking forward to is heaven. And this world is just is a temporary staging point, because this is for only a short period of time, but for a longer period of time I'll be in heaven. So that's my real home. This home is just something I'm passing through. And we get this idea that we're so looking forward to heaven that we don't bother to be happy here on earth. We are so, and it's great to be looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven as much as the next person. But the key is to learn contentment where we are. Have heaven here and now. Learn the secret of contentment here and now. So that, Paul says, I've learnt the secret of contentment. We come to our second point, everything through him. So let's remind us of verse 9. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Here is Paul's distinctly Christian makeover to the Stoic philosophy of self-sufficiency. The Stoics were resolutely seeking to be independent of their circumstances by a superlative act of will. But Paul makes clear that any contentment he has owes everything to God and his strength. Unfortunately, and I do it myself, we so often wrench these words from their context, press-ganging them into service of, at best, encouraging exploits and feats of faith, and at worst, pushing people along paths they don't feel able to go. We say, you can do everything through Christ who gives you strength. And we expect people to turn into Christian supermen or superwomen who can do everything through Christ who gives us strength. But we have universalized Paul's everything. And we apply it to any action with spiritual triumphalism, as if we can achieve anything through Christ who gives us strength. Rather than conceding to the constraint of its context and casting ourselves on God to bring contentment. This is a verse about contentment. And Paul is saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He's saying, whether I'm in hungry or well-fed, whether I'm in need or have plenty, all of these things, I find whatever the circumstances of life, up or down, I've learned contentment. And how have I learned contentment? The secret of contentment is simply this. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. It is that verse is about finding contentment. We find contentment in all things through Christ who gives us strength. Paul's radical and distinctive makeover of the Stoic philosophy of self-sufficiency is put Christ at the center and transforms it into Christ sufficiency. He takes self-sufficiency and he transforms it into Christ's sufficiency. That's difficult to say, isn't it? Here is the secret of contentment. It is only through Christ and reliance on him that we can live above the challenging and changing circumstances in which we find ourselves at any and every point in life. Paradoxically, Paul's secret for the Stoics is, I am self-sufficient by being in the one who is all-sufficient. I am self-sufficient by being in the one who is all-sufficient. It is only as we find our house, our place, our life founded in Christ that we will ever have contentment. And Paul has said, self-sufficiency, you have no self-sufficiency in and of yourself. It is all in and of God. And as much as you are in God, you will find contentment. Paul has given us an antidote to anxiety, prayer and thanksgiving, plus the two-step process of focusing our mind on excellent and praiseworthy aspects of life and putting into practice the gospel of Christ. Those are the things we learnt previously. But here he moves on from addressing the anxiety issue to providing us the positive alternative of a Christ-centered contentment. And this morning we have two clear applications. Find contentment where you are. Not by some escapism into another world of whatever it is, computer-generated world, a world of excessive consumerism, a world of make-belief. Not a world that's wishing away where you are at the moment, but it is a world where you can flourish where you're planted. Whatever the circumstances, you cast yourself on Christ and he gives you contentment. Find contentment where you are. Cast yourself on God and ask him to give you the strength you need to be content in him. Contentment is very hard. Some of us find it easier in some ways and some find it more difficult in some ways. I have a birthday coming up, if the musicians could come please. This is me coming into land. I have a birthday coming up. It's a significant birthday. And Deb's, like often does, she says, Steve, what would you like for your birthday? And to be honest, there's nothing I really need. I have everything I need. You know, there are things that I could buy or could get because, you know, we could always get more. But I'm content. I have everything I need. And so, really, I don't need very much. So I'm racking my brains thinking, what is it that I want? And even that, I think, and part of it is I'm just basically a miser and don't want to spend money, even if it's on myself. And so I think, yeah, let's not buy it. It's not worth it. Let's not do that. And so in that way, contentment, I'm content. In other ways, I recognize that I'm not content. Now, some of you may be always wanting the next best thing, the next, you know, next item of clothing or the next technological advance. You're wanting that. Sometimes we don't know that we're loved and we're looking for love elsewhere. And we see people enter into affairs and things like that. What this is saying is find contentment where you are and cast yourself on God and ask him to strengthen. We're going to ask God to strengthen us as we sing our final song. So Spirit, come, put strength in every stride. Give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. Let's stand and sing, O Church, arise, put your armour on. And as we do so, we're going to give our offerings to God for his use.